The Americas Today. My name is Kern Stanley. The government of the United States of America, by a proclamation from President Barack Obama, recognizes June 2009 as National Caribbean American Heritage Month. OAS Radio now welcomes Jamaican-born, U.S.-based Andreen Bonner, a writer, singer, actress, poet, and folklorist. Andreen, welcome to OAS Radio Studios.
Thank you.
What brings you to Washington?
Oh, this fabulous literary festival. It's Tamarin Festival of Caribbean Literature. And I was invited on the strength of my manuscript. The Olympic Gardens was selected to receive an award, the Lorna Goodison Caribbean Award for Transformative Literature. And, of course, the title of the book is Olympic Gardens. And that's what brings me here.
And it is Caribbean Heritage Month this month.
Yes.
And the award is associated with the celebration, yes?
Yes, part of the celebration, yes.
And you mentioned you have a new book, Olympic Gardens. Could you tell us a little bit about the book?
Happy to tell you about it. Olympic Gardens is a story that I've wanted to write for over 40 years. And I just started writing it in 1998, and most recently I finished working on it. Mm-hmm. Amazingly, it is a story of a young boy. His name is Roderick, and he was pretty much like every other a child. But by the time he learns that he's being shipped away from his rural family home to live with his aunt in the city, Kingston, mm-hmm. it's too late. His mother's decision came without questions or answers. And so Roderick's youth is tested under the most adverse conditions. And it is within the abyss of such harsh realities that he must find strength and seek some semblance of joy that will help him to survive, grow, and to find his place in the world. And that's what it is all about.
A very familiar story in the Caribbean.
Oh, absolutely.
You move from maybe rural area to the city area. And my next question would be, what challenges highlight his journey?
Well, his journey is a journey of many little boys and girls in our country. We have a sort of informal adoption, a kind of informal foster care that seems to just go over, you know, without any question in some countries. And also, of course, in Jamaica, we just take a little pickney and we, anybody pickney off the street and take care of them. But in Roderick's case, what happened is that he was abandoned by his white American father. And then, of course, his mother banished him to Kingston. There was a sort of disconnect she felt for whatever reason, and she sent him away. Of course, she had her subsequent new children with her new husband. And so she divorced herself from this little boy and sent him away to live a life of servitude for her sister in Kingston. And it's marvelous to see the kind of way he found strength to survive the situations, the abuse that he, both physical and mental, he was kept out of school. He was denied an education for at least two, in this first part of the story, because it's a trilogy.
Okay.
It's in three parts here. And so he finds strength. He has to find ways to survive. He makes friends. Fortunately, people have befriended him, adults as well as children. One girl in particular, little girl is Chloe, lived next door, and she made friends with him. And of course, what she did was she asked her daddy to help him to read. So this book is also about, not only about friendship, but it's about literacy and hope.
Key to getting out of a lot of these situations. What period is it?
It's set in the 1960s.
Wow.
And ironically, some of the feedback I've been getting about the book is that Olympic Gardens, that most people have come to know as a more violent, you know, unfriendly place.
Right.
But the Olympic Gardens that Roger grew up in It's totally different. It really was a beautiful garden in terms of the kind of love that he received from community. And of course, even the physical infrastructure was totally different. It lended itself to home. And of course, it's city. It's a little different, a lot different from the country that he's accustomed to, the simplicity of country life. But it certainly is not the Olympic Gardens that we have come to know today.
So a little bit of history in the book as well.
Absolutely. I've tied in the history of the period, you know, the little of the politics, and of course, the folk, the myths, and the storytelling aspect of it. So we've just tied in all of those things to create texture and just tell Roderick's story.
Let's talk a little bit about another journey. In the book, you talk a little bit about moving from the rural areas to maybe the city life. Talk about moving maybe from country to maybe another country, mm-hmm. as in your journey.
Ah, my journey.
Yeah, and I know you're based where now?
I'm in New York.
In New York.
I'm in New York. In 1979, I was awarded two scholarships, one to the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Arts and another one to the British American Academy, Acting Academy in New York City. And so, of course, I took up the one in New York City. At the time, we were not allowed to take money out of the country, a lot of money out of the country to support my studies in the arts. In fact, I was only able to take $52 out of the country. And so I could not support my trip to London. I couldn't get enough clearance to for how many pounds, I don't know how many thousand pounds I needed at the time to study. And so I stayed in New York, and I became a part of the graffiti. And while on the periphery, I made these, I would say fictive, imaginative journeys, but some of them I've had to use. But and that's when I really decided to do a lot of the writing. It was a culture shock for me going into New York, because as an actor, I was at the top of my game in Jamaica. And then when I came to New York, I found that I was slotted as a black actor. And then, of course, because I was doing from Shakespeare to Molière, and I was just an actor.
Right.
Aristophanes, you name it. I did it back then in Jamaica. So when I came here, I'm supposed to be a black actress, limited roles. And then I left, and I spent some time in theater in New York, and then I left and I went to Los Angeles. And so I just came back from Los Angeles. I've actually lived there for 15 years. I said, okay, well, I'll try it again, and I'll go into film maybe. I'll do something. So I did some theater there as well. And, of course, I just couldn't get rid of my accent. For nothing in the world to get that all-American, they call it that Midwestern kind of inflection. Right. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to write for myself. So I started writing one-woman plays and that sort of thing, and I just started to immerse myself even more in the folklore.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I guess through that, you would have probably been a lot of focus on your culture.
Yes.
So you would be portraying your culture to people who come to see your show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I used to take my stories to the elementary schools and colleges. I would do like maybe about a 30-minute performance art piece and a 10-minute question and answer. And I did that for quite a while. I still do it when I get an opportunity to do it now.
What do you spend your time doing now?
Well, I'm an English teacher.
Right.
I teach at Mount Vernon High School in Westchester County, and I write.
Yeah.
That's all I do these days. I just write and teach children.
Well, I look at your list of acclaims here, and you've been honored, City of New York, Sanitation, Delta Kappa Society, a lot of U.S.-based, the NAACP. And it kind of falls into the Caribbean heritage, the work and the contribution that people of Caribbean heritage have made to this country,
mm-hmm.
and it ties in. And I just want to ask you to highlight maybe some of the awards or experiences that maybe kind of showed up through your time here in the U.S.
Interestingly enough, well, first of all, the one I'm really, really very, very honored and thrilled about is the Lorna Goodison Caribbean Award for Transformative Literature. Who would have guessed that I would have been so privileged to receive such an award, especially on a first-time effort, you know? It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Lorna Goodison is someone who I have admired for many, many, many years. And yes, there is some common ground that we both stand on. However, I certainly did not see myself receiving such a prestigious award. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that is my my Oscar. It is my Grammy. It is my Tony. Yeah. it has made up for all of those awards that I hoped I would have received as an artist. So that's first and foremost. And I thank the Tamarind Festival of Caribbean Literature in Washington, D.C. for conferring such an honor on me. Then, of course, I received the NAACP nomination, actually, for Best Performance by an Actress in Errol John's Moon on a Rainbow Shawl. And I think it may have been around 1996?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the other day.
I just felt like I was on top of the world when that happened. And subsequent to that, since I came back to New York, I found that the energy in New York, this region, the Northeast region, has just worked perfectly for me.
Okay.
I mean, having lived here and gone away for 15 years and come back, there's just something just so remarkable about the vibes, the vibes I'm feeling here. I seem to be in my right place at this time and my right space, and people have paid attention to my contributions. And of course, I've received citations from the Honorable Yvette Clark. I've received a citation from her and several other citations, too numerous to mention. One of them that is very, very special to me is the 2006 Rehoboth Award, and that for leadership. And that's one that I just never imagined. First of all, I didn't even know about the award. Apparently, some students at the high school that I teach have told their pastor the impact that I'm having on their lives. And I keep getting this phone call, and I just wouldn't return these people's phone. I don't know who these people are calling me. You know, I was wondering if some salespersons are calling me. All I know is that one day I'm in my office at the high school, and somebody comes in. It's the pastor. We have tried to reach you, and you have not returned our calls. And we've been watching you. We've been watching you, what you've been doing for our children, how you have transformed their lives. And we just wanted to honor you. That's all we wanted to do.
Yeah.
So please show up. Please show up. And that's very special to me. I don't get up every morning looking for awards and commendations.
Yeah.
It's just a part of the living, and it just happens. It's just organic. People feel that, you know, this is what we need to do. We need to recognize and we need to honor the best. And that's basically it.
How long are you going to keep doing this?
As long as I live. Mm. I don't know any other way to behave. This is just my purpose, and my purpose is to serve. And if I'm honored because I serve, well, so be it. I accept it with humility.
That was an interview with Jamaican-born, U.S.-based actress and writer, Andreen Bonner. My name is Kern Stanley. This is the Americas Today.